Chapter 15. The villages that we captured and turned into our bases as we went along, and the forest that we slept in became my home. My squad was my family, my gun was my provider and protector, and my rule was to kill or be killed. The extent of my thoughts didn't go much beyond that. We had been fighting for over 2 years, and killing had become a daily activity. I felt no pity for anyone. My childhood had gone by without my knowing, and it seemed as if my heart had frozen. I knew that day and night came and went because of the presence of the moon and the sun, but I had no idea whether it was a Sunday or a Friday. In my head, my life was normal, but everything began to change in the last weeks of January 1996. I was 15. I left one morning with 20 members of my squad for Bauya, a small town a day's walk south of us, to get ammunition. My friends, Alhaji and Kene, came too. We were excited to see Juma, who was now stationed there. We wanted to hear his war stories, hear how many people he had killed. I was also looking forward to seeing the lieutenant. I hoped we might find some time to talk about Shakespeare. We walked in two lines on the sides of a dusty path, looking into the dense bushes with our bloodshot eyes. We arrived at the outskirts of Bauya just before sunset and waited in the bushes as our commander went ahead to make sure our colleagues wouldn't shoot at us. We sat against trees and watched the path. The commander returned after several minutes and motioned for us to move into town. I hoisted my gun on my shoulder and walked next to Kene and Alhaji as we entered the base. The cement houses in the town were bigger than the ones I had seen in other villages, and everywhere we looked were unfamiliar faces. We nodded to acknowledge other soldiers as we walked around town looking for Juma. We found him sitting in a hammock on the veranda of a cement house that faced the forest. There was a semi-automatic machine gun next to him, and he seemed lost in thought. We slowly walked up to him, but before we could scare him, he heard our footsteps and turned toward us. His face seemed to have gotten older, and he had stopped nodding when he spoke. We shook hands with him and examined his gun. "I see that you carry heavy weapons these days," Alhaji joked with him. "Well, what can I say? I am moving up from the AKs," he replied, and we all laughed. We told him that we would return to sit with him in a few minutes and went to load our bags with ammunition and food to take back. While we were in the ammunition house, our commander told us that the lieutenant had asked us to stay the night and that dinner was ready. I wasn't hungry, so I returned by myself to see Juma while Kene and Alhaji went to eat. We sat quietly for a while before he started talking. "I am going on a raid tomorrow morning, so I might not see you before you leave." He paused, fingered the side of the machine gun, and continued. "I killed the owner of this gun in our last raid. He took out a lot of us before I could get him. Since then, I have used it to do some damage myself." He chuckled, and we high-fived each other and laughed. Immediately after that, we were ordered to report for the nightly gathering in the yard at the center of town. It was a social event for commanders to mingle with everyone else. Juma picked up his gun and put his arm around my shoulder as we walked to the yard. Alhaji and Kene were there. They had already started smoking. Lieutenant Jabati was present too, and he was a little jovial that night. Most of his colleagues, Staff Sergeant Mansare and Corporal Gaddafi, had died, but the lieutenant had miraculously managed to stay alive unscarred. He had also been able to replace his dead colleagues with other men who were fierce and disciplined. I wanted to talk to the lieutenant about Shakespeare, but he was busy going about the gathering, shaking everyone's hand. When he finally stood in front of me, he held my hand tight and said, "Macbeth shall never vanquished be until great Bynum Wood to high Dunsinane Hill shall come against him." He nodded at me and said loudly to everyone, "I shall take leave of you fine gentlemen." He bowed and waved as he left.